You're probably one of the most famous Angolan artists. Your career has spanned more than 20 years, and now you're also breaking into an international market. Paulo Flores, we're so honored to have you today for World Music Matters. Welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you're very known for samba music, but you didn't invent it. You kind of resurrected it. For listeners who might not know what samba music is, can you give us a little bit of history and also how you got interested?
I have my first contact with samba with my great aunt. When I was a kid, she sang to me all those songs. The samba music, it started in the late 40s, 50s. There was a group called Ngola Rhythms that transposed the ethnic and percussive rhythms to the harmonies, to the guitars and keyboards. So it was when really samba started.
And it's become kind of a symbol for Angola.
Yeah, because before our independence, samba lyrics were talking about freedom and were passing a message that we wanted to be free. And when they stopped playing, it was like an emptiness.
So for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Angolan history, why did they stop playing?
Especially because of the war. Né? So many studios that weren't there anymore. And several musicians went to the military services also. And then we start importing songs from Kassav, from Les Antilles, from Congo, from Cuba, from Brazil, Cape Verde. And we stopped producing in Luanda. I started recording my first album in 88. But at that point, in Luanda, nobody listens to samba. Zouk was really the music that played at parties. Né? So we tried to make a sound like Zouk. And that's how we created the kizomba style that today it's very well known. In 1992, I go back to those memories that my great aunts sing to me. I found really the secrets of samba.
What are the secrets of samba?
Wow, I am still learning about that. There are a lot of secrets, and especially the way it swings in between the tempos. When they start to play, it's like the harmony change before you sing that line. So it seems that is wrong, but it's the only way it gets right. We can feel it. It's very close to samba and other genres from Brazil, and I guess it has to be with the slaves that went there and take our ancient rhythms. But when I get to Brazil and start playing with musicians from Brazil, always happens they listen to the music and they say, oh, okay, I know what is this. And he starts playing. But when he starts playing, he knows it's not like that. He feels, but it's not easy for us to explain. He has to feel it and he has to play. O samba no morro, o samba no morro é fogueira. O samba que traz liberdade. O samba da nossa bandeira. O samba que traz liberdade. O samba da nossa bandeira.
Because it comes from such a complex place with different influences, coming in from different countries, but also from Angola. Your family is Angolan, and you were born in Angola, right? But you grew up in Lisbon.
Yeah, in between, because I went to Lisbon with 3 years old with my mother, my grandmother, great aunt. So my father stood in Luanda, and I always get back on summer holidays. And for me, being between those two worlds were very important. It's like, until today, I do songs and lyrics that are still sustained from that memory.
When you wrote your first songs, I think you were about 17.
16, yeah. Yeah. The first songs I did it asking my father and my grandmother, my great aunt, stories of Angola. It was like a little Angola in our flat in Lisbon. And I always felt that they really missed a lot. And so the first records were that kind of nostalgia. I was very shy, so music for me was like the way I had to talk about myself and my feelings. And the privilege that I never expected was that people related so quickly to what I was writing. And the first time I go to Angola, and there was like 5,000 people waiting for me. And again, I was afraid.
And how old were you? What year was this?
16, in 88.
Wow. Yeah. So you were 16 and you had 5,000 people waiting for you at the airport.
I didn't knew that they listened to my music even. After that, I start to look and I saw some children in the street. I saw parties with everything. And those contrasts start to get in my music. That will be forbidden. You cannot sing those kind of things.
Why at the time could it have been difficult for you to talk about some of these things?
Yeah, because we were in a Cold War and everybody was very afraid of saying whatever. They sing before the independence. After the independence, we get like some songs of almost propaganda songs. And we had Bonga and Tetalando, the only ones that talk about problems, but they live outside. And when I get with 16 years old to Luanda and start to write about lack of water, lack of light, like it was very fresh for our society, like...
Porque choras pior, se o mais velho está contente. Diz que Luanda está boa, está melhor do que Lisboa, diz que é mesmo independente.
Today I feel that people respect my honesty. Today everybody comes to me and asks me when I don't sing the things they want to listen about.
So the fact that you are one of the few people who has a voice who can comment on these social issues kind of brings a responsibility.
Yeah, of course. But in the beginning I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Today I understand better what it means. Né? It's very important to tell our story because it worries me a lot that in Angola we erase history. For me, it's very important to get that information passed because we need really to give that information to our young generations.
Obediente beco do Sambila. Quinguilas sentadas em esteiras de um novo mundo. Papá dizia, filho etu mudietu. A imagem crua da criança nua. A tal cobiça por fingir ou a cegueira, onde o mendigo na estrada da samba desce a rua sem sua tristeza, ele é nada. Em casa velha viciada a lua. Continua ameaçada de sangue, que continua ameaçada. Translúcidos homens modernos exibem luxos nas casas novas, em condomínios de um químico papel da nossa imaginação. Atropelados pela posse do velho capital, que é quem manda